The reading is from Luke chapter 5, verse 1 to 11. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd were pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put it a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let your nets down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And when they came and filled both boats, so they began to sink. But when Simon saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you'll be catching people." When they brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Debbie. And God always blesses the public reading of his inspired and his infallible word. If you had been here on New Year's Eve, you would have heard me share a word on one word, a message on one word, and this house was packed on New Year's Eve. And that one word was advance. Each year, as I come to the end of the year, I ask the Lord to give me a verse for the year. And sometimes he gives me a verse for myself, sometimes he gives me a verse for myself and for the church that I have the privilege of leading. And I believe that he's given me a verse for us as a church for this year. And it is one word, advance. That God is wanting us to advance in many different ways across 2025. And at the heart of that is a verse from Psalm 18, verse 29. "By you I can crush a troop, or I can advance against a troop. And by my God, I can leap over a wall." It is my conviction that across 2025, there are walls that God will give you the grace to leap over. It is my belief that he wants to give each of you that are part of this house and those of you that he has brought here today as guests and visitors, online and in this room, the gift of faith to believe that with him, you can advance against a troop. Whatever that troop may be. And that troop may be sorrow. That troop may be uncertainty. That troop may be opposition. That troop may be health issues or fear. I am convinced that God is able to see you through everything that you will face in 2025. And I believe that he has given us a word as a church that we are in this year to advance in his purposes, to advance in his kingdom, to advance for him in all that we are and all that we do. Rarely does God speak to me so clearly as he's spoken to me about this singular word for us. And in my normal method of preparation for sermons and for teaching, as I develop biblical curricula, God will often give me a series for the morning and a series for the evening. For the first time in my entire ministry, he has given me this word for everything that we will be looking at in January. Our morning series, our afternoon series, and our evening. All four services each Sunday will be built around this single theme: advance. How might you advance in the purposes of God in 2025? In your private circumstances, in your relationships, in your family, in your calling, in what God has for you? How might you advance? I believe that you should listen carefully to this word today and that you can do all that you can to be part of the teaching and the instruction that we will receive. I also think that it's important that you get yourself into, if you're not already in one of our small groups, we call them cells. We'll be talking more about that over the next few months, giving all of you an opportunity to be embedded in one of these small groups for accountability and discipleship and for growth, that you might have people around you to support you and help you as you grow in God's purposes. Everything that lies ahead, God will give us if we will trust him and walk in his way. Nothing that he wants will he withhold from those who love him, we are told in Scripture. Next Sunday, from the 12th of January through until the 19th, we will begin a week of prayer entitled Blow the Trumpet. I'll be writing to you about it this week. It'll be an opportunity for you to be praying in your cells, an opportunity for us to be praying online, to be praying together in the early morning. On the Wednesday, the 15th of January, we're having a half night of prayer from 6 p.m. until midnight. Those of you that remember us doing this in October will remember the power of God's presence amongst us. Well, on the 15th of January, I'm also calling a day of fasting. I'm asking you if you are able and medically fit to do so, to set aside food for that day and to come from 6 p.m. until midnight. Come when you can, leave when you have to. And this whole building is going to be turned into, for that evening, a prayer center. We're going to have spaces and places to pray and seek the Lord because we cannot advance with a good strategy. We cannot advance just with a good plan. Psalm 127 makes it crystal clear, does it not? Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. In vain will they rise early, and in vain will they labor late. We can have the best plans in the world. If God is not at the center of them, they will fall. But we are putting God very intentionally at the center of all that we are and all that we do. On the 14th of December, I met with our local leadership team and we had the most remarkable day together. And I will be sharing over the next couple of months with them some of the things that the Lord has been saying into our lives, saying into us as a church, things that will really make you take a deep breath. Because they will not be achievable without the miraculous intervention of Almighty God. But we believe that God has given us vision and passion and energy and direction for what lies ahead. You know, sometimes people come to the end of a year and the beginning of a next, quite understandably, it's not a criticism, and they have to take a sharp intake of breath at the end of one year, at the beginning of the next, and say, Lord, that has been hard and tired. Give me the strength that I need. I have been in years like that. That's not how I feel today. Today, I feel like a hare in a trap, ready to go. And I'm like, come on. Sorry, that might have been too vernacular for you. Come on. I am excited about what God wants to do amongst us. I am full of faith for what he wants to do in this place. Because the enemy has tried to destroy this church. And let me tell you, in crystal clear language, he has failed. And God has the most amazing things for us as we step into 2025. He asks us to come before him with an open heart, with open hands, with an open mind, and perhaps even an open wallet. Across our week of prayer, we will be on the 16th of January. The movement that we are part of is called for a national day of consecration for Elam ministers. And those that are Elam ministers in this house will be traveling to that in Birmingham and we'll be taking part in it. Then on the 18th January, Saturday the 18th of January, cell leaders, ministry leaders, cell family leaders, the board, those that are on the staff, we are having a leadership day conference on that day. We want to unpack some of the things that God has said to us for you, to encourage you, to inspire you, to ask you to pray. You are welcome to be part of that. Put in your diary now, the 18th of January. We'll be writing to you about it again. Of course, on Sunday evening, the 12th, we will launch our prayer week, and then the 19th, we will finish it with a time of praying for the sick anointing people, praying for breakthrough and for deliverance and for God to come in power. We are advancing in his kingdom purposes. In the first week of February, from the 2nd until the 9th of February, we have a conference planned called One Growing Together. On the Tuesday, the Wednesday, the Thursday, the Friday, and the Saturday, we will be joining together. There'll be an event for women organized by our women's net. There'll be an event for men organized by our men's net. There'll be an event for leaders organized by our leaders' net. Some of you don't know KTLCC, but we have around 32 other congregations in London that are meeting right now. They will also be participating in that event as we have a network day. We'll be updating you on some of the work that we've been doing around governance. We'll be updating you on some of the things that we've got planned as we move forward. We'll be updating you on some of the ideas around sales and discipleship and prayer and mission and all the things that God is asking us to do. I cannot wait. Put that in your diary too, the 2nd to the 9th of February. Across all of this month, this teaching will have a particular focus, helping you advance. Talk about it in your sales. Pray about it in your personal life. Think about it, journal about it, reflect about it. If you have friends that are at work with you that are part of KT, ask, how does this apply to our workplace? How can we live this out? Today, we'll return shortly to looking at letting down our nets. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11, because each Sunday morning across January, I want to look at advancing in four simple ways. How do we advance out? How do we advance in? How do we advance up? And how do we advance across? Today, how do we advance out? What does letting down our nets mean for our mission, our vision, our outreach, our evangelism, our discipleship, how we engage with culture and the great ideas of our day and generation? Next Sunday morning, we will look at advancing upwards as I explore seeking God's face from a verse which is extremely important to me for lots of different reasons. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, on the dedication of the temple, God said to Solomon, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. We'll be looking at that next Sunday morning as we prepare to launch into our week of prayer. God wants to move in London. He wants to move across the United Kingdom. He wants to breathe revival fires into his church across Europe. I'm convinced of it. And he's asking his people, will you seek my face? Will you call out to me? Will you press in? And will you let me show you what I can do when I find a people who are willing to follow my way? On the 19th of January, we will look at what it means to advance inward, exploring Colossians chapter 2, that we are called to be rooted and established in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? And how do we live as faithful disciples? And then on the 26th of January, the last Sunday of the month, we will look at one single idea in the book of Acts chapter 2 from verses 43 to 47, that they were together, that they loved one another, that they shared in fellowship and in prayer and in the breaking of God, bread and the apostles' teaching. How can we grow in our life for one another? And that theme, All for One, is picked up in our conference in February, which is entitled One, Growing Together. Our 4 p.m. series, many of you will know that we have four services here at KT on a Sunday. I actually have five. I have an 8 a.m. online teaching slot that I do, then a 9, 11, a 4, and a 6. In our 9 and 11, I've just outlined to you what we're doing. In our 4, starting this afternoon, we are advancing by looking at spiritual warfare. Across the next couple of months, I want to go through line by line and thought by thought the teaching of Ephesians chapter 6, that we are to wear the armor of God, because we will need it as we move into all that God has for us. We will need to be equipped and ready. We will need to be sharp and focused and alert and allowing God to lead us and to guide us as we develop and revisit the truth taught in this house many times of spiritual warfare. Then tonight, I am preaching a message from 2 Kings 3 entitled Dig a Ditch, Growing in Expectancy. Where is it you need God to advance you this year? What are you going to do to enable him to do that? You just wait around and he does it. He calls us to come with expectant faith. What ditch do you need to dig? What preparation do you need to make? What area do you need to prepare? What things do you need to get right in your life? How are you going to make sure that you are ready for all that God wants to give you? Next Sunday night, my message will be entitled Blow the Trumpet in Zion from Joel chapter 2 as we begin the week of prayer. I am convinced that God, the Holy Spirit, is blowing a trumpet across the cities of the world and calling people to pray, to seek his face. What would it look like for Kensington Temple London City Church to be connected as a church to other fellowships in Edinburgh and Dublin and Cardiff and the capitals of the world, to Belfast and to Paris and to Madrid and to Lisbon and to Washington, D.C. and to Accra and to Addis Ababa and to Johannesburg and to Brasilia and to Rio de Janeiro and to other great cities around the world? I think God is calling us to be strategically connected across the world that his kingdom might advance. Not for our glory, but for his. We'll be looking at what that might mean. Then on the evening of the 19th, as we pray for the sick, as we anoint people, as we look to God for breakthrough, we will be preaching on the subject, seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. Are you excited? Are you open-hearted? Are you ready for what God wants to do? Let me speak for a moment to two different categories of people here this morning. The first is to those of you online, downstairs, and here that are part of the Kensington Temple and London City Church family. God is calling us to be on our guard, to be ready, to be on the front foot and not the back foot. He has spoken so clearly to us about all that lies ahead. It's going to require all hands on deck. And as I said earlier to you, the vision and the sense of direction that he is giving us will not be possible without the miraculous intervention of the Holy Spirit. None of it will be achievable in our own strength. But as you hear of it, I pray that you capture the vision of it and that God ignites something in your spirit. I wonder as I look around this room, how many people at the end of 2025 will have been called up and into something new? Will have been called to step out in faith in their workplace, in their home, in their community? I wonder how many of you may have been strategically placed by the Holy Spirit in one of the great spheres of our society, art, culture, education, government, law, medicine, research. And you don't even realize that God has had you there ready for this next season. I wonder how many of us, God might say, I want you to start a cell. I want you to plant a congregation. I want you to step out in faith. I want to put my hand on you. God doesn't only call apostles and prophets and teachers and evangelists and pastors. He calls women and men into a destiny beyond your imagination. Are you ready for that? As we look at this passage this morning right in front of us, letting down your nets, we read the most remarkable story. But I want you to notice something about it. Jesus doesn't call the disciples to become his followers until the last verse, verse 11. So here's how the story's running. Verse 1 tells us that lots of people had gathered to hear Jesus. They were interested in him, but they weren't his disciples. They loved his teaching. They weren't following him. And there were so many gathered that he was by the Sea of Gennesaret, or the Sea of Galilee, and he saw two boats. And he chose to get into one. I wonder what the people in the other boat felt. Simon Peter was the owner of that boat. And he got into it and he said to Simon Peter, push me out a bit. Maybe he was saying, I need a bit of space from this crowd. They're too close to me. He wouldn't have been frightened or intimidated by them because he was never frightened or intimidated by anything. But he goes in this boat and he goes further out and he begins to teach. And as he begins to teach, the people listen. And then we're told that he says to Simon Peter and to the other people in that boat, let down your nets. But if we already, we also read in the story that they'd started to wash their nets and put them away. They were coming to the end of their shift. Their bit was done. And Jesus said, no, let down your nets again. Peter said, well, we've been fishing all night. But if you tell us to let down our nets, we'll let them down again. They let down their nets and they catch such a haul that the nets begin to break. Well, they don't break, but they're on the point of breaking. And they have to call for the other boat, the boat that didn't think it was needed, the boat that was hanging around thinking, why didn't he choose me? At this moment is brought into play and both boats are filled with fish. And those that are watching in these boats are in awe of Jesus. We're told that they fear him. And only at that point does he say, you have been fishermen, but now you will be fisher of men. Come and follow me. Only after all of this does he say, now come follow me. And we're told that they left everything they had and they followed him. What does that story have to do with us advancing? I think God, in calling us to let down our nets, and I think this is a prophetic word for us, is reminding us of our call to engage with our world, to preach the gospel, to reach the lost, to make disciples, to be active in mission and evangelism and outreach, to engage with our giants and spheres of society, to be actively and intentionally involved in speaking into the great ideas of our culture and our day, to help women and men in this place to understand that wherever you are, God has strategically placed you. But also to see new congregations birthed, to see new churches born, to see new disciples won, to be engaged in mission around the world. I don't know if you know, I'm sure most of you do, but we have churches across London, I've mentioned them. We have churches in Brazil. We have church connections and commitments and partnerships in France. We have church partnerships in Germany. We have church partnerships and discipleship partnerships in every country that ends in S-T-A-N. We have partnerships in Syria. We have partnerships in Iraq. We have partnerships in Lebanon. We have partnerships in Palestine. We have partnerships through mission activity across the network in several countries around Africa. We've got them in Cameroon. We've got them in Sierra Leone. We've got them in Uganda. We've got them in Nigeria. We've got them in Ghana. What does God want to do with all of that? Because he hasn't entrusted us with this for nothing. Here's the thing. I'm 54. You might say, you look 64. Well, if I look 64, it's your fault. Not really. And I'm not going into my 55th year saying, oh, I've kind of just got my eyes set on retiring. I want to go again. I want to run again. I have more to do. There's more in this tank. Not of me, but of God. And one of the challenges of a church like Kensington Temple, really a large church, is that if you're not careful with the person that leads it, that person could lead, come and arrive and say, I have arrived. I'm just going to enjoy the fruit of everybody else's labor. I don't want to do that. I think God wants us to press into new territory. I think he wants us to take new ground. I think there are women and men around the world, and God has decided that he's going to win them to his son through the ministry of this house. There is more for us to do. We are to let down our nets. We are to reach out. And as you read through this passage, you discover some principles and ideas that might help us. In verse 1, we read that very simply, once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret and the crowd was pressing in to hear the word of God. The hunger that London has is not just for an entertaining church. It's not just for a shiver and a shake. It's not just for something that makes people feel good. The hunger under the hunger is for the word of God. Our nation needs the word of God. Churches need the fire of God's word in their hearts. Are you hungry for his word? Last October until November, we held our Hear the Word of the Lord event. And we're still hearing testimonies of people that were saved or healed or delivered. For those of you that don't know what it was, we read the Bible publicly, every verse from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, without interruption, across 150 hours or so. And it was remarkable. But that wasn't the end of it. That was the beginning of something. That was stepping into another season of something. I've been reflecting on this. Here's an idea. I'm not telling you we're going to do it, so don't panic. There are 1,185 chapters in the Bible, right? Well, there are more people than that as part of our church family. What would happen if we got 1,185 people who each said, I will learn a chapter in 2025, off by heart? And then one Sunday, maybe, I say, who is John 14? And I don't know, Pastor Kofi will get up and say, I'm John 14. Woof. Or I say, who is Isaiah 53? And maybe Grace Danaquay says, I'm Isaiah 53. I think we could do that. Imagine a church where the whole Bible was learned by heart. And where we said we need each other because not one person knows it all. There are nearly 1,200 people who together know it. Does that not excite you? That really excites me. Letting the word of God getting into you. Now, who would like to be Psalm 119? I can see some people volunteering each other. Look, we'll maybe split Psalm 119 into 2 or 3 or 30 or something. How are we going to get the word of God into us? Because that's what people need. They don't just need the latest fad. They need the word of God. I'm convinced that Amos 8 is a time that describes now. The time is surely coming, says the Lord God, when I will send a famine on their land. Not a famine of bread or a thirst of water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east. They shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but they shall not find it. This great city needs God's word. Our nation needs God's word, and it is rejecting it. It's saying, we don't need that old book anymore. We don't need those old ideas anymore. And I tell you, those that are watching and those in the room, the culture is wrong. The word of God will bring life. The entrance of your word brings light. Your word goes forth and heals. We need to hear again this word, and God needs to give us a hunger for it, a yearning for it. Maybe some of you started on the 1st of January and said, I'm going to read the Bible in a year, and it's the 5th now, and you've already failed. And the enemy will whisper into your ear, you're a failure. Don't believe him. Do you think it would be a disaster if you took an extra 6 months? Do you think it's the end of the world if you just start again? Every time the enemy says it's not worth reading, you say, you're not worth listening to. As a friend once said to me, every time the enemy reminds you of your past, you remind him of his future. Hallelujah. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, he responded by saying in his first temptation, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, quoting the book of Deuteronomy. You, brother, you, sister, whatever you think, however clever you think you might be, you need the word of God. And we need pulpits that are on fire with the word of God. We don't just need preachers that are able to explain a text lifelessly. We need the power of the Holy Spirit flowing in the pulpit and from the pulpit into the lives of women and men. And I pray that God will make us such a church. Secondly, from this passage, verse 2, Jesus saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Here's my simple belief. We're not done yet. KTLCC is not done yet. Another chapter, another paragraph connected to all that is good and beautiful in the ministries that have preceded me is emerging in this house. And I'm excited about it. But I think some of you have started washing your nets. Oh, I'm tired. Oh, I've had enough. The enemy has discouraged you and distracted you and diluted you. And you're on the verge of leaving your net. Don't do it. Don't give up. Stand at your station, because God has not finished yet. He still has more that he wants to do. I think, if I understand rightly the history of this house, in years gone by, the nets in this place have been strong. They have been strong, but over the last few years, they have been weakened. It is time to strengthen them again. To strengthen those nets. And I will tell you why in a few moments. But it is your responsibility and mine. You don't get to choose the generation you're in. You don't get to choose that. Neither do I. This is our watch. And now we have a choice to make. Will we lend ourselves to the purposes of God, or will we not? I'm all in. And I'm asking, will you recognize that God is not done in you yet? I think some of you in your personal circumstances have gone through a tough 2024. And you need some time to recover and to be strengthened and renewed. But don't look back, look forward. Don't allow yourself to give up. Don't think that the enemy has the last word. He doesn't get the last word. Jesus gets the last word in the lives of his children and in your life and in mine. We must advance into all that God is calling us to do. In verse 3, we're told that Jesus teaches them, another evidence of the word of God. And then in verse 4, we read of him instructing them to throw the net out again. It's interesting to me that we have word and wonder side by side in this passage. It isn't enough for us to teach well. I'm an evangelical and I believe in the preaching of God's word. You know how strongly I believe it if you listen to what I say every time it's read publicly. But we must also be a place that demonstrates the power of the Holy Spirit. That holds out the light of hope to people, that says God still heals. God still sets free. God still anoints. God still pours out his Spirit. God still changes lives. God still rescues families. God still turns situations around. He's not done yet. I pray that just as it was noised abroad in Mark chapter 2 that Jesus was in the house, it will continue to be noised abroad that Jesus is in this house. I pray that we will hang on his every word, that we will be looking for what he wants to do, that we will come with expectancy. Did you not sense it today? Was I the only person in this house that in the worship thought, my goodness, God is at work here? At times, finding it hard to stay standing, looking at the worship team, thinking God is anointing this team. He is breaking in our midst. We have to be willing to let him break apart our agendas. Amen? We have to let him interrupt, because it's his church and his service. We are not done yet. But then thirdly, you see this exchange between Jesus and Simon in verse 4. When he had finished speaking, Jesus said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down your nets for a catch. Sisters and brothers, beloved, you have a choice to make. You can choose faith or you can choose comfort, but you cannot have both. You think about that. Deep water is faith. Stepping into what you do not know. Being willing to obey when God asks you. Earlier in this message, I said there were two groups of people I wanted to speak to. I've spoken to the KTLCC family. The other group are those of you that are visitors and guests here today and online or listening to this sermon later. I think God brought you here. I think God brought you to this house today to say, Will you let me put you out into deeper water? Will you let me lead you into something new and fresh and exciting? Will you trust me for the unknown? There's an Irish saint called Brendan who was reported to have traveled from the west coast of Ireland to the east coast of the United States. And for years, people said he didn't do it. He couldn't have done it. And he wrote something called The Voyage of Brendan, in which he describes what he sees. He went in a skin-covered boat, not a very big thing, called a coracle. And in 1972, a sailor called Tim Severin decided to retrace the steps to see how far he could get in such a coracle, and he made it all the way. And he realized that what he was reading in Brendan's notebook was what he was seeing on the journey. It turns out that this saint, this man of God, followed the leading of the Holy Spirit, not only to the east coast of America, as we call it now, in a boat that should have sunk, but back again. And he wrote something. He said this: Lord, do I trust you more than the tempests of the sea? Do I trust you into the unknown? Will I follow where you lead, even when I don't know where the ultimate destination will be? And he said, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Too many of us say to God, I'll follow, but tell me exactly where I'm going, when I'm going to get there, how I'm going to get there, what the cost will be, and whether or not I can fit it in. We stand on the brink of a year and we say, Lord, now I could give you a Wednesday afternoon and a Thursday morning. What are your plans for me, Lord? No, that doesn't fit. That doesn't suit. That is too much to ask of me. Nothing is too much to ask of us. Nothing. One famous missionary once said this: if the commission of a king is considered a privilege, how can the commission of the King of Kings be considered anything else? C.T. Studd, the famous founder of the Africa Inland Mission, and then what later became the WEC, the World Evangelization Crusade, said this: if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, was quoted by Jim Elliot some years later, then nothing that he asks of me is too much. What might God ask of you this year? Where might he take you? What might he do with you? Will you trust him into deep water? I'm looking out here, and let me say something to you, and I've talked about this with my board, so we're all in agreement. We need a generation of leaders to be released in this house. There's never been a better opportunity. There's never been a better moment. But God will not place you in something unless you are willing to serve him. This is too serious. We're not playing about with church. Over Christmas, I was talking to a friend of mine, and he watches KT. He loves it. He said, I want to come. I said, well, I'll make that work. He said, you know what you are? I said, what? He said, you're a deep end church. I said, what does that mean? He said, you're a deep end church. From the minute it starts, it's like, whoa! And I thought, you know what? You're right. Many churches you go into, they got to warm up. They've got to get things moving. People are kind of getting into the groove. Not here. You're all late for church, but that's another story. But from the minute you come in, you're in. I'm glad I'm part of a deep end church. I'm glad I'm part of a community that wants to go all out for Jesus. And I'm sure that there are Christians outside of this place that think we're a bit odd. Well, God has a peculiar people, and I'm glad to be part of it. Amen? But are we willing to step in and to step up? Are we willing to trust him? Some of you are the future of this place. Some of you will have to make a decision about where you will invest your lives. And you can invest it in something that will benefit you, or you can invest it in something that will benefit the kingdom. My prayer is that God will raise up a generation, and like Moses, we'll have to come and say, stop, stop. You're giving too much. You're volunteering too much. We don't have enough spaces for all the people that want to help. Wouldn't that be a problem? Advancing as we trust him. And then the question, let down your nets for the catch. And Simon's response, I love it. In verse 5, it's one of the reasons I love the Bible. It could have just said, and Simon said, okay. But actually what the text says is, Simon says, we've been fishing all night and we're just about to stop. In other words, do we have to? There's a cost to this. And then he says, yet. If you ask me, we will do it. So they throw the nets over. Maybe you're a bit like Simon. Maybe you're not feeling as energetic as I am today. Maybe you're a bit, do we have to? No, you don't. But you'll miss the adventure of a lifetime. That's your decision, it's not mine. They threw the nets over and they fell 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 and they fell. And you know the boat that thought, what about me? Get the other boat! And both are filled. My wife did some research around this story some time ago. There was enough fish caught in this one catch to finance all of the people that followed Jesus from that moment on for the rest of their lives. Some of you are saying, I couldn't step into what God wants. I couldn't afford it. Really? The God that owns the cattle on 1,000 hills can't afford it. Do you think God can't provide for you? Do you think that he can't open the right door? Do you think that he can't do something? Let me tell you. The catch that we are looking to God for in this house is people being saved, people being set free, people being transformed. And our nets are not strong enough. But here's the thing. If every one of our nets was strong, it still wouldn't be enough because God won't save London through one church. I don't need KT's name to be on a revival in London. We need Jesus' name to be on a revival in London. All we want is glory for Jesus. All we want is honor for him. And it will take all of us. It'll take our 32 congregations in London and another 32 and another 32. It will take the hundreds of cells that we have plus thousands more. It will take the resources that we have plus more. It will take this building renovated. It will take things that we couldn't even begin to work out how to do. God is going to have to do it. But I think he's going to do it. I'm in faith that as we trust him with our questions and our uncertainties, that he will say, I will provide for you. I will lead you. You see, the reality is this. People are hungry for the word of God. God is not finished with us. He's calling us to trust him because there is a catch that is coming. A catch that is so strong that our current structures and systems will not contain it. We need new ways of growing and releasing disciples. We need effective ways of developing and releasing sales. We need a new emphasis on how to connect with one another. We need new relationships forged that are stronger with our network churches. We need all of this, but God is able. When Noah began to build the boat in Genesis 6-9, it hadn't rained yet. I wonder how he felt when he started to put the boat together and the people around him said, what are you doing? He said, building a boat. What's a boat for when it rains? What's rain? You'll see. 2025, 2026, 2027, there'll be lots of Christians. And listen, church family. There'll be a lot of Christians in this city that will laugh at us. There'll be a lot of other churches that will say things like, we're too big for our boots. Our vision is too big. We're wasting our time. We're never going to achieve it. I'm not coming down off the wall for such distractions. I'm not coming off the wall for such distractions. You don't wait until the fish are in the net to strengthen it. You strengthen the net before the fish are in it. So we have some strengthening to do. And that work starts today by the power of the Holy Spirit. God is on the move. And in this story, it ends with them being amazed in verse 8. They're amazed. Psalm 118, verses 23 to 24 says, this is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, as the musicians come to join us, says, things beyond our thinking, things beyond our imagining, things beyond our understanding, God has prepared. He is able to do immeasurably more, Ephesians says, than you are able to ask or think. Don't get swamped in all of the observations that I have made to you today. Are you hungry for the word of God? Do you recognize that God is not done in you yet? Will you trust him in your journey with your life and your family and your ministry and your career? Are you willing to change because there's a catch coming? That can all be summed up with one simple question, evidenced in verse 11. Come follow me, Jesus said. Will you follow him into 2025? Will you follow him into 2025? Because whatever else you build on is not strong enough. But if you build on him, the rains will come and the winds will howl, but your house will stand strong. And if KTLCC follows where Jesus leads, then no matter what comes against us, we will stand by the power of the Holy Spirit for the glory of Jesus Christ.